College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and to break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in the show, we'll be joined by Arkansas head coach Eric Musselman. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in this podcast. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And also want to remind you that today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast is being brought to you by Geico. Okay, I'm going to throw a lot of numbers at you, but please stay with me. In just 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. This company has been offering great rates and great service for over 75 years, and anytime you need help, you can speak to one of their trained specialists 24/7. The company is Geico. Go to geico.com today. Sorry for all the numbers, and in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, I'm out of time. Now that we've got you set for all your Geico needs, you know, you gotta love preparing to do a podcast, and you have all sorts of topics ready. You gotta love preparing for a podcast when you're in a situation where you have everything you think you're going to talk about during the month of May and you're covering college basketball. And then all of a sudden, things change when you get the bombshell news on Monday morning that John Beilein is going to leave the University of Michigan, a place where he has taken Michigan to 2 national title games in the last 6 years, for the head coaching job at the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, I was shocked that John Beilein decided to take an NBA job at 66. He flirted with the Detroit Pistons a year ago, obviously decided to come back to Michigan, had another great year this season, lost in the Sweet 16 to Texas Tech. I am not shocked, though, that he decided to go to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, why is that? The assistant general manager for the Cleveland Cavaliers is Mike Gansey. Now, for the college basketball fan out there, they are well aware that Mike Gansey in 2005 was one of the best players on a West Virginia team coached by John Beilein that went to the Elite Eight and lost to Louisville, just short of making the Final Four. What does this mean for John Beilein? He will now complete an unbelievable coaching career in the sense that the man has never been an assistant coach. From Erie Community College, okay, to Lemoyne in Division II, to Canisius, to Richmond, to West Virginia, to Michigan, to the Cleveland Cavaliers, he's never been an assistant coach. What does it mean for Michigan? It means right now that on May the 13th, one of the top jobs in college basketball is open. And I'll tell you this much right away. There is no clear-cut candidate that is immediately going to make a lot of sense for the University of Michigan. Because one thing you have to remember is this. Michigan is a job that is one of the elite brands in all of collegiate athletics. Michigan is a job under John Beilein that has always been at the highest of ethical standards, especially when you consider everything that is going on over the last couple of years in college basketball. And one thing a lot of coaches tell you is this: you never want to be in sports the guy who follows the guy. The next head coach at the University of Michigan will be the guy who follows the guy, because Michigan, for a lot of reasons, was not a relevant program for a while until John Beilein got there. And John Beilein at Michigan went to the NCAA tournament in 8 of the last 9 years. John Beilein at Michigan, during those 8 trips to the NCAA tournament, went to the Sweet 16 or better 5 separate times. It's not going to be easy for John Beilein to be replaced at Michigan, and he's also going to have to deal with some transition, obviously, as he gets set to coach in the NBA. Now, one person who used to coach in the NBA and is now coaching in college is Eric Musselman, and the new head coach at Arkansas joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein coming up next. Arkansas tabbed Eric Musselman to replace Mike Anderson as head basketball coach, and the head coach of the Arkansas Razorbacks joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein right now. But, Mus, before we get into your quest at Arkansas to turn this program around and back into a national power, the news came down, obviously, Monday morning that John Beilein was leaving Michigan to take the head coaching job at the Cleveland Cavaliers. You had been the head coach of two NBA teams. Now that you know both sides of the business, what advice would you give to Coach Beilein as he prepares for this next chapter at the professional level?
Well, John, first of all, thanks so much for having me on, but there is an adjustment period for sure. You know, I was with Coach Lon Kruger when he was in Atlanta. And I think there's just a, you know, there's a, in the college game, having bounced back and forth, there's just differences, meaning, you know, in the NBA, side out of bounds, late game package is so, so important because you can advance the basketball. At the college level, baseline out of bounds is more important. And you're talking about your substitution patterns are completely different due to the fact that it's an 8 minute longer game and you're playing an 82 game season instead of a 30 game season. So how you manage your players' bodies during the course of an 82 game season, how you sub schematically, it changes drastically on late game situations, especially. And there is a learning curve, even from a terminology standpoint, because so much of the NBA players are used to same terminology, whether they get traded from team to team. There is a standard language that's used at the NBA level as well.
Well, we appreciate your insight there because you've seen both sides, and now we're going to test, obviously, how good your thesaurus is, because I'm curious, if there's one word you could use to describe your first month as head coach at Arkansas, what would it be?
Crazy and busy, and I can keep going on and on, but it's been a whirlwind. Obviously, the first thing you want to do is try to recruit your own players and develop a relationship with those guys, and then there's the whole aspect of trying to formulate and get a staff together, and then you talk about just your family situation as well. Anytime you move, it's taxing on a wife and kids. And it's been a really busy time for sure.
Well, we appreciate, you know, your candidness right there by saying crazy and busy, but your perspective has also changed since the last time you were an assistant in the SEC when you were at LSU. But I'm curious, what was the perception for you personally of the Arkansas job when you were in the league a couple years ago under Johnny Jones?
Well, I think the perception amongst, you know, people in the league and even some people that are, you know, close to the league is that Arkansas is a great job. Actually, the year that I was at LSU, we felt like our game at Arkansas that year was going to be the determining factor whether we got into the NCAA tournament. We felt like we needed another road win. And then you add in the fact that it's a hard place to win, and we actually came in and won that game in Bud Walton Arena in front of a really, really good Razorback crowd. And so the entire state of Arkansas is involved and passionate about the Razorbacks. It's unlike most states that have multiple universities that they root for and, you know, states that are kind of divided where they have one or two focal point programs, and here it's all Arkansas Razorbacks throughout the entire state.
Well, and, you know, this is a conference right now that's on an upward trajectory. 7 teams in the NCAA tournament last year, 8 the season before. But I'm curious, you know, how are you different as a head coach right now entering your first season at Nevada versus when you first got to Reno a couple of years ago?
Well, I think obviously when you're in the Mountain West and we had done a lot of studies, our thing was, you know, non-conference schedule was really going to determine if we were able to get an at-large bid. And there was really no margin for error at that mid-major level, whether it be this time of year when you're working on your schedule, and then also no margin of error once you get into non-conference play. Certainly at the SEC level, you still – once the thought process of no margin for error and non-conference still becomes important. However, your league play becomes more importantly because who you're playing against with the number of road games and quality programs that you play against at the SEC, league play becomes paramount.
Arkansas head coach Eric Musselman joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Now, these things with coaching searches always happen in different ways. When were you first contacted about being the next head coach at Arkansas?
Well, it happened, I think, John, on a Monday, and then had a meeting on a Tuesday, and then found out at the Final Four that Saturday, you know, that I was going to be the next coach, and then was on a plane with my family from Northern Nevada to Fayetteville on that Sunday, and then had a press conference the following day on Monday, which was championship, NCAA championship day. So it happened fairly quickly, and feel really fortunate to have been involved even in a job of this magnitude and in a conference like the SEC.
Now, you look obviously at the things you'd experienced as a head coach, and you always had one of those unique resumes because you were in the NBA, you were in other professional leagues, you know, you came from a coaching family. But one thing you never had to do as a head coach in college was say goodbye to a team and a program that you had put together. What was that experience like for you at Nevada?
Well, it was really hard because obviously if you look at our roster, so many of those guys really did not have a connection to Nevada. They, you know, they came there to play in a system and to play for a coaching staff and to go to a great academic institution as well. But it was really, really hard, especially for the guys that were returning. Obviously, we had a bulk of our team also that was going on and moving on with their career in the professional ranks. So there was a group of guys that it really wasn't going to affect at all, but there was a whole other group of guys that when I had to have that meeting, hardest thing that I've ever done in my life, hardest decision, because we still felt like we had a great nucleus returning. We felt like we were going to have a lot of fun going into the off season because everybody felt like, oh yeah, we lost a lot of guys in Nevada. And we felt like the nucleus was incredible coming back and that we could win the Mountain West. And certainly I think Coach Alford and his staff are in a great situation from a talent standpoint on who is coming back. And that makes it difficult, too, when you feel like you could kind of surprise people and the pressure or the target's kind of off your back because the target was going to be off those guys' backs because of all the expectations that we went through this year.
Well, you know, you talk about, obviously, the connections and the relationships and how they're different with certain players that you have in college, but you also experienced that at the professional level. How did the relationships that you had with your players as the head coach in Nevada compare to some of the relationships you had with your players when you were the head coach of an NBA team?
Well, I think, obviously, just the impact that you have on a young man's life, not just basketball-wise, but you're talking about his academics, you're talking about socially, and so you're dealing with a whole different dilemma. In the NBA, it's, you know, you coach the player in a game, in practice, you travel together, you check into hotels together, but then even in the hotels, guys go their own way, and the only time you really eat together is if it's an individual player coach meeting or if it's on back-to-backs when you have your brunch with your team meeting. And then for the most part, the dinners or guys are on their own on the road. That's not the case in college. You eat every meal together on the road. And so you have a much stronger bond. You get to know your college players' parents and their inner circle in the NBA. You might just know the player, a few family members, meaning wife and kids and the agent. So it is a whole different relationship standpoint, but even in the NBA or whether it be the G League, one of the neatest things, regardless of coaching collegiately or in the pros, is those relationships that last a lifetime. And when you're able to have conversations with Danny Green or Jeremy Lin or Gerald Green, those relationships last a lifetime, and you want to have an impact on your players, regardless of if it's professionally or collegiately.
Arkansas head coach Eric Musselman joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Well, Mus, you've had a couple of weeks right now to get a feel for your roster. What are your early impressions of the team that you inherited?
Well, Coach Anderson's, you know, done a phenomenal job here You know, his teams have always played really, really hard. They've always been aggressive on both sides of the ball, both offensively and defensively. And they had a fairly young team last year. I mean, you look at, you know, the point guard position with Jalen Harris, who's one of the fastest players in the country and a high assist player. Desi Sills is a player that can play the one or the two and is another young piece. And Isaiah Joe, one of the better perimeter shooters in the entire country, coming off a phenomenal freshman season. And Mason Jones can play the two or the three, is another guy that can really, really score the basketball. And then you have a whole group of players that have great athleticism. Adriel Bailey and Reggie Shaney and Gabe and Ethan Henderson, all guys that can play multiple front court positions and swing to the three position as well. So really, really good nucleus that Coach Anderson has left behind. And then it's our job to try to, even though it's late in the recruiting process, to try to fill some holes as well. Which we're going to try to do. We already have a grad transfer in Silla, and so we're going to continue to try to recruit as hard as we possibly can with these last few scholarships that we have available.
Now, you, when you took the Nevada job, obviously, you know, were very, very candid about how you watched what Fred Hoiberg did at Iowa State from afar, and you, in a lot of ways at Nevada, replicated that by doing an unbelievable job with transfers. Some of your best players, Cody and Caleb Martin, Kendall Stevens, Jordan Caroline, at all at Nevada, were all transfers. Do you think you'll adopt a similar philosophy at Arkansas?
Yeah, you know, I think you got to mix. I think at a level like the SEC is you got to get 4- and 5-star recruits as well. And you know, even at Nevada, we did recruit a 5-star McDonald's All-American. We had two players that were Pac-12 commits, and Lindsey Drew and Cam Oliver. And then we had some other 4-stars that we had recruited as well, in Josh Hall and DeVerl Ramsey. And so I think that we did have a ton of transfers, no question about it. But in just a 4-year sample size, we did have some really, really good high school players come in as well. And certainly we understand that in the SEC level and here at Arkansas, that we've got to recruit the high school market much harder and much different than we did with the Nevada Wolfpack.
Now, a key part for any head coach in the SEC is developing the right staff. You obviously have one position filled, you know, on your staff, and Corey Williams from Stetson, who was the former head coach there. Any other updates on Eric Musselman's first staff at Arkansas?
Not really. What we've tried to do, John, is have great patience. We want to make the right decisions. We want them to be long-term decisions as well. And we have really, really done a tremendous amount of research on assistant coaches, whether it be in the area. We've looked at guys with a lot of experience. We've looked at guys with some younger experience that might be hungry. And we just want to make sure that, especially right now, our players are done with finals. They're on a break right now. There's no recruiting really going on once the next 24 hours, 48 hours hit. And we have a little bit of a dead period as well. So for all those reasons, we want to have great patience, make the right decision. We have hired some support staff guys that have really done a tremendous job in this transition time frame. And hopefully we'll have a staff full and complete here in the very near future.
Well, anybody who knows college basketball knows that recruiting, staff, and scheduling are the three most important parts, obviously, of any program. We know there was a couple of games that you inherited on your non-conference schedule last year. Have you added anything of significance since you took the job?
We haven't really, John. We've talked a tremendous amount about how we want to go about scheduling, but you know, we do have some tough road games at Georgia Tech, at Indiana, at Western Kentucky. And so we want to be as strategic as we possibly can with these last few games that we're going to fill. And again, I think patience and really studying the schedule as best we can is what we're trying to do going forward.
So it's interesting. You look at different places in college basketball when people talk about the best places to play. And obviously people are going to throw out Cameron Indoor Stadium. They might say Rupp Arena. They might say the Kennel at Gonzaga. You know, people have always told me that there is no venue like Bud Walton Arena if it gets going in terms of being better. Now, you can say other venues are as good, but nothing's better. In the experiences you had at LSU in the SEC, what was your memory of Bud Walton Arena, and how important is it to again create that type of an atmosphere moving forward?
Well, you know, obviously if you win, you're gonna have an incredible amount of fan support. You know, it's campus wide, John. I mean, I went to the baseball game, you know, this weekend, and the support, our baseball team played LSU. They had over 10,000 people. You're talking about a fan base that even tailgates for baseball games. You know, football draws, basketball draws. And again, it's just kind of a unique place that has incredible support. And not do they just come out to games, but they're really, really vocal and really into what happens during the course of a game. And we found that out when I was with LSU at Bud Walton. When they would go on a run, it becomes deafening inside. Obviously, we got to do our part by how hard we play, by the style that we bring, our players, the energy that they show on the floor, and the energy that our guys show on the bench. All those things, I think, can have an effect on the building that you play in as well. But the history of this program is one that draws phenomenal in a great venue that seats a lot. I mean, you're talking about 19-plus thousand that you can fit in our venue.
You are somebody, Mus, who I've always noticed has had a reverence for coaching because of your background in a basketball family. Of the 14 head coaches right now in the SEC, six have been to the Final Four and eight have at least been to the Elite Eight. As somebody who eats this stuff up three meals a day, how exciting is it for you to match your wits against coaches of that caliber?
Well, obviously, you know, what our conference has done is incredible from a coaching standpoint. You know, it's a challenge to go against the caliber of coaches that you're going to go against every night. You know, fortunately for me, having coached at the NBA level at a really young age and looking down the sideline at people like Phil Jackson and Pat Riley,
right.
I have been blessed to coach against some really good coaches, although a different league than the SEC. But what administrators and athletic directors have done in the hiring process in this league is really, really incredible. And we know that every single night out, you're not going to out-coach people because you're going against really, really good coaches on a nightly basis. And so it's going to be important that we have a great summer of preparation, that our practices lead up to games are really good, because that's exactly what, you know, we're going to go against is other programs that have coaches that have prepared their teams to the highest level.
Final thing, I know obviously you're still working on your roster, you're still working on your staff, but regardless of personnel, regardless of staff, what are the biggest things that Eric Musselman hopes to accomplish in his first year at Arkansas?
I think the biggest thing really, John, is establishing an identity that you could go forward with, so that, you know, it'll be our first real recruiting class. You know, we're going to have to establish during the course of this upcoming season how we want to play, the style that we want to play, because we're going to have to sell that to recruits. And there's going to be a lot of recruits that are going to be watching how we play, how hard we play. I think that first year, it's hard to pinpoint a number, but I don't think there's any doubt that every program in our conference, because like you mentioned, in the past couple of years, there's been eight teams and seven teams that have gotten NCAA tournament bids. That's what you want to do. You want to try to get to the tournament and then see what happens, because once you're in that thing, anything can happen, as you know better than anybody.
Well, Mus, appreciate you giving us a couple minutes. You know, congrats on your success here, now being an SEC head coach just less than, you know, 5 years and becoming a Division I head coach. Best of luck on the spring recruiting trail, and look forward to staying connected along the way.
John, love listening to all your podcasts. Thank you for having me on. Appreciate it.
We'd like to thank Arkansas head coach Eric Musselman for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on iTunes. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And it's time now for our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And our first question is coming from Chuck, and it's, John, does Boston College take the next step this year and make it to the NCAA tournament? For me, Chuck, Boston College, okay, is a team that needs to add a dynamite guard on the grad transfer market. I can tell you this, according to a source earlier on Monday, USC grad transfer Derek Thornton is going to visit the Boston College campus in the next couple days. St. John's, Gonzaga, Auburn, Texas Tech also still in the mix. Now, you have to remember, Derek Thornton was a guy who reclassified out of high school, started his college career at Duke, and then transferred to USC. That's what we're going to need to see out of BC, the impact of a big addition on the grad transfer market, in my opinion, at the point guard spot. Our next question is going to come from Hub City Sports, and it's, John, why is Texas Tech so successful with grad transfers? Do you think they'll add any more this season? Well, Texas Tech added a commitment over the weekend from TJ Holyfield by way of Stephen F. Austin, and the big thing that Chris Beard has to sell right now with grad transfers is this. Tariq Owens and Matt Mooney were not known commodities at this time last year until they left their respective schools and went to Texas Tech and were part of a team that went to the national title game. So that's a big opportunity if you're a grad transfer to go and continue that at Texas Tech. And our final question, our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein, comes from Colby. It's, John, how do you see the Big 12 shaking out this year? I'm not going to put together my list of predictions until everything gets sorted out with the NBA draft process. That's going to happen on May 29th. But the team I really like in the Big 12 this year is Baylor. Tristan Clark is going to be back, obviously, from injury. You also have a major nucleus returning under Scott Drew, okay, that played in the NCAA tournament. Guys like Mario Kegler, guys like Jared Butler, guys who put in the time and produced on an NCAA tournament team and a team that won a game in the NCAA tournament against Syracuse. They also add two transfers that they love in Macy Oteague and also Davion Mitchell. Davion Mitchell, if you remember, was at Auburn last year, played a key role for Auburn, and now finds a way to be in a situation to be Baylor's starting point guard. So I think if you look at Baylor, it's a 20-win team that didn't have Tristan Clark. They've got guys back who have played major minutes, Devontae Bandu, Freddie Gillespie. I would not be shocked if Baylor winds up being picked first in the Big 12 regular season poll during the preseason, because look, obviously Kansas is going to get a lot of pub because they're Kansas. Obviously people are going to be high on Texas Tech. I think Baylor right now is the interesting team to watch in the Big 12 next season. Now that we've got you set for all your social media needs, let's get to some nuggets.
Five good nuggets.
Five.
Six.
No, five. But you were close.
Nugget number one, the 2019 Big Board. The top uncommitted prospects in the class of 2019 goes as follows this week. RJ Hampton, Jaden McDaniels, Precious Achiuwa, Trendon Watford, and Boogie Ellis. Things to keep in mind right here, I'm hearing very strongly that both Precious Achiuwa and Boogie Ellis are heavy leans towards the University of Memphis. And that brings me to nugget number two, the Memphis Revolution. That is what's happening right now under Penny Hardaway at Memphis. Last week, they added Arkansas Little Rock grad transfer Rajon Tucker. They also added a four-star prospect in Lester Kanonis. There haven't been many hires in college basketball from a PR perspective that have been better than Memphis's decision to tab Penny Hardaway as head coach. Nugget number three, Zags and Flux. Zach Norvell announced last week after working out in Atlanta that he's staying in the 2019 NBA draft and will not return to Gonzaga. This means that Gonzaga is going to get in the mix with another lead guard to pair with Admon Gilder and Corey Kispert on the perimeter. I told you earlier in the podcast that Gonzaga is on the short list for USC grad transfer Derek Thornton. Again, he's visiting Boston College
College this week. Nugget number four, an update on the Housers. Marquette transfer Joey Hauser told me last week that he and his brother Sam would be visiting Virginia last week, and they're also going to visit Michigan State here on the 14th and the 15th. They've already visited Wisconsin. Two great sit-out transfers right there, the two kids from Marquette. And then nugget number five, Holiday Hoops at the Mecca. According to multiple sources, the four teams at this year's Jimmy V Classic in Madison Square Garden will be UConn, Louisville, Indiana, and Texas Tech. That event is in December. The matchups are to be determined. We'd like to thank Arkansas head coach Eric Musselman for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. This was the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.